listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear-related on DVDVerdict.com. On this week's episode, we delve into Diablo 3, tackle the news, and talk about all the crap we wasted our time with this summer instead of going outside.
Listening to Blast Processing.
Indeed, yeah. It is Blast Processing, your official podcast for all things video gaming
and video gaming.
It's pretty much just video game. We never do the other two things. I'm not even saying them anymore.
We talked about gear related products when I gave my review of the Sumo Omni, and in fact, today on Blast Processing, I will probably talk about the Sumo Sultan.
So did his gear. What about gadgets? Do we ever do gadgets?
Occasionally.
Was the Ouya a gadget?
That's,
sure.
That's a game console.
Well, they're gadgets.
Not a gadget. I call a phone a gadget.
How long are we going to drag this out this week?
Another 10 minutes.
As long as it takes.
The whole podcast is just going to be the intro.
Because that's how we roll.
That's right.
You're listening to Intro Processing.
Intros.
For 90 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
It's been a while.
It has been a really
long time.
Goddamn long time.
I blame myself.
Awkwardly long.
I blame you as well.
You can both blame me.
We had Mr. Collins for a while.
Yes.
For one episode.
Yeah.
I blame
He's a poor substitute.
I thought he was pretty good myself.
Yeah, he actually was pretty good.
Yeah.
I got scared that you guys might permanently replace me.
No, we couldn't do that.
You were thinking about it.
We were thinking about it, but then we got the cease and desist order.
Kev's mom called us up and said, "Now, boss, you can't be replacing Kevin on the Blast Pass."
My mom doesn't even know what this is.
Exactly.
It's a funny thing.
Like, what's that?
Well, yeah.
And if you see his mother song, tell him to come up on the roof and help his father to re-shingle these shingles.
Tell him to call home.
That was a thing today. Yeah. But, and the roof has been redone.
Oh, my God. It's funny because your brother's name is Joe, so it works perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joseph.
Your father asked you to go to the store and get him a creamsicle.
And what you brought back was a popsicle.
You couldn't have gotten him a popsicle.
Oh, you guys are making me hungry for ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Video game related ice cream.
Welcome back to the land of the living.
I don't think DCD operates in. Oh my god, it's September.
It is September.
Wow.
Well, Kev is here. He's not in some place that nobody's ever heard of.
That's right.
Banging on the drum or singing hiddly fiddly diddly 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 fiddly diddly. So.
Yep. So it's got to be September.
It has to be September. Where did our summer go?
It's all memories now. Memories.
Water under the bridge.
Yeah.
Like sand through the hourglass.
It's true.
Man, you don't get classy talk like this on other gaming podcasts.
No.
People probably jump into games right away.
Yeah.
Speaking of.
Segway.
Come segway with me.
We could do this like we normally do. I could kick my laptop off the table.
That would be an excellent way to start.
We've done that before.
Yeah.
It's happened before. It will happen again.
You know, we could each review a game and throw some news in there somewhere, like we usually have typically been known to do for the last little while.
Right.
But I was thinking about rocking it a little more old school this evening.
What have we been playing?
It's been so long since we've done one of these. I'm sure there's a dozen games that we could talk about that we played over the summer. I said we, not you. I said specifically me and John.
I haven't played some games.
I was insinuating that maybe myself and Mercer might have played a few games this summer.
All right.
Kevin forgot his phone charger, so he actually had strike matches.
But it's been kind of a busy summer for games.
Yeah.
I played quite a few games this summer compared to the norm. I mean, last year we went on hiatus all summer because we had fuck all to talk about.
Yep. Bing! That's our first F-bomb for the...
And it wasn't even me.
We're keeping score now?
Yeah, every time...
We should actually... We really should keep score, so that's one.
And at the end of the episode, we should actually announce how many it was were in this episode.
Yeah. We should.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, Kev, you're the one who was furthest away.
Yes.
What were you playing this summer?
This summer?
The yeah. drums. The drums.
Aside from the drums?
Drums.
It's
drums
funny, you know? Where I was living, I hooked my PlayStation up in the living room and didn't play a game on it all summer long.
Oh, my God.
What I did play was some stuff on my iPad.
Okay, all right.
You know, okay. Most recently, probably the best game to ever come out for iPad is called The Room.
So that's not the best game to ever come out for iPad.
Oh, it's close, man. Yeah. It's fantastic. Sorry. Anyway, there's a sequel coming out, and they just released an epilogue.
Oh.
Which I devoured as soon as it came out. And actually, that's not
was
too long ago.
The Room, the thing you showed me with the box where you just...
That's right. Yeah, it's like a huge puzzle. Kind of puzzle box thing.
Yeah. Like the, what was it called from Hellraiser? The Lament configuration?
Sure. Anyway, that was pretty deadly. Other than that, and a couple of other, like, iOS games and Minecraft, of course, I haven't been playing a whole lot. Now, since I've been home, I've been playing nothing but Diablo 3.
Mm.
Nothing but it. And I think maybe we should talk about that outside the realm of what I've been playing, because we could be talking about this together for a while.
Okay. Here we go. To kick things off, our grand return after over a month of absence, Mr. Yep. Kevin Woolridge, for his thoughts on Diablo 3.
Diablo 3 is like 200 hits of acid, my son.
It's and too it's, much
no,
acid.
No, and it's not enough. It's fantastic. My God. It's just... as soon as I sat down, the nostalgia hit me in waves, and I remember playing the first Diablo, you know, LAN down to your place, hooking up a couple of computers, you know. It's just so good. They made so many good choices. There are certain things that I miss about the old one.
Okay.
And I never really... I'm going to talk about that. I was playing with my brother recently, doing some multiplayer, and it really occurred to me. And then it occurred to him, we were like, yeah, that kind of sucks. I miss town portal scrolls.
You can town portal whenever you want.
You can town portal whenever you want. And the awesome thing about the original game was you stocked up on those things before you went down there.
Yeah.
So you could use them, right? And if you ran out, there was stress and panic and trying to get back up to the surface, you know?
I think there's a bit of Torchlight syndrome there.
Yeah.
Because, like, how you could kind of pretty much instantaneously return to town whenever you wanted in Torchlight.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of, like, one of those game design things that they said, well, people are used to it now, so we kind of, you know.
Yeah, but it's not cool. It takes away that kind of, the panic and the...
Have there been any areas where you can't use it?
Not that I've found so far.
Oh, okay.
I've been able to use it whenever, yeah.
Satan's put us in the middle of a devil field. We can't use our town return scroll.
And in fact, I think the difficulty level is too easy on normal.
Yeah?
Far too easy. I've died once. I'm a level 21. I'm in Act 3. And I'm a wizard. I'm a wizard.
You're a wizard, Harry.
And I've been playing mostly solo. So I should have died at least more than
once. Here's a question for you. Does the PS3 and Xbox 360 port have the crazy difficulty setting that erases your save file when you die?
I believe it does. Is nightmare mode or hardcore mode or
really?
Something? Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess that's like playing Minecraft on hardcore. If you play Minecraft on hardcore and you die, you lose the whole world that you generated and you have to start from scratch.
But the difference is Diablo 3 is a game.
Minecraft's a game.
It is a game.
Played with Legos.
Yeah, and if you're playing a modded game on Minecraft like Skyblock and you die in hardcore, you have to delete the mod and reinstall it.
What?
Yeah.
That's too hardcore.
That's hipster hardcore.
Yeah.
Totally.
I am.
You have to take the record off of the record player that's playing your soundtrack.
I too have partaken of the Diablos, I gotta say.
Yeah, we had a great multiplayer game.
Three-player game last week. Yeah.
Last week, yeah.
Some couch co-op, which was amazing.
It's fantastic.
To me, that's the only way to play it.
It is.
It really is. Single-player, it's pretty cool. You know, I played a fair bit of the first act single-player and enjoyed myself. But when you throw other players into the mix, it's just a completely different...
Yeah.
Like, played the first four-player today, and that was
that was fantastic.
It was it was myself and Mr. Ackerman and Mr. Dobbin, and then our good buddy and theme song composer, Mr. Dan Moore, jumped in for a while from over PSN.
Nice.
And it was phenomenal. And four different classes, too.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, Barbarian, Demon Hunter, Monk, and Wizard.
Sweet.
It was just so... And we didn't have the Witch Doctor laying the thing up.
Hey now. Witch Doctor's pretty cool.
With his gimp leg and his tremors.
He's just feeling the voodoo magic, that's all that is.
He's rocking.
It's rocking out. That's right.
But yeah, it's a great looking game. It doesn't really... You know, it's one of those examples. I guess the PC version, the whole thing with Blizzard in general, you know, like Blizzard were never a bunch of guys known for pushing the technological envelope. It's not what they do.
Yeah.
But their artistry has always been phenomenal. Like, you know, they've always let their art design do the talking, and Diablo 3 was no exception. Diablo 3 is a great looking game.
It is.
And I guess because it's not so technically ridiculous on PC, there's no compromise.
Yeah.
It still looks absolutely fantastic on the console.
Yeah.
And in an extremely rare occurrence, every decision that they made in terms of tweaking the game for console control was a good, a plus, was an improvement.
Yeah.
The menus are a little better, I found. I know some people were complaining about the menus, saying they're easier on PC with mouse and keyboard, but I find the menus, as far as playing with a controller, the menus are fantastic. The one-to-one control, like actually having active control of your character instead of it just being a click fest. I got bored with Diablo on PC in 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, with Diablo 3, I should say. I bought Diablo 3 at launch. We had an old unboxing video on YouTube somewhere. You know, but... the PC version, I got bored because it was just click, 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 click. You know, and where you have that one-to-one control, you have that active control of your character, the active control of your attacks and stuff. It feels more substantial.
Yeah.
There's more of a connect.
Yeah.
Between, like, you and the game. It's absolutely brilliant as a console game.
It is.
It really is. The last time I had that much fun playing co-op was probably Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance on PS2.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that whole feeling of every time anybody kills an elite or a boss and everybody's into their menus to see what it is they picked up.
Yeah, it's so just, much fun.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
It is really cool.
Yeah. I think they knocked you out of the park with this one.
Yeah.
And they've also got another great game that's in beta right now that none of you guys are going to be interested in. But I've been watching a lot of videos of it. It's Hearthstone, World of Warcraft.
Oh, the Warcraft card game.
It's Warcraft card game. But it's fantastic. It's quick and easy. come on now. Don't cut the mic. It's quick and easy. Art design is awesome. And it looks like a lot of fun. Fun. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I'm not directly opposed to a card game.
Yeah.
I'm really not. I'm
hopefully the cards will actually be available this time.
Yeah, really.
Remember Eye of Judgment.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
But that was so much fun.
It was.
That's not fun. Fun.
Not fun fun.
It was fun.
It was pretty fun.
Would have been more fun if you could have, you know, got the cards.
I partially blame that on just... It was early in the PS3's life cycle.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not enough people had PlayStation.
And it's a weird game, too.
It was a weird game.
I mean, it appealed to us, but...
Are you saying we're weird?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Cheers. But Hearthstone, I'm really interested in it. And if they release an iOS version of it, they're going to make a mint. But I don't think there's any plans for that right now.
Are Blizzard... known for... Well, no, they don't do mobile. They haven't really gotten into any mobile, have they? No.
No, I don't think they have. No, but if they did, man...
Well, Warcraft drops another 57%. Maybe they will be.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
If Gameloft could get Order and Chaos Online up and running on a Android smartphone, then I can't see why World of Warcraft can't appear on iPad.
If Minecraft runs on iPad... Come on.
Yeah. So there you go, Blizzard.
Blizzard doing things right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think they're doing next?
StarCraft on console.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No.
No, I can't see it.
It'd be deadly, though.
RTS?
If they did it right.
Okay.
Ghost.
StarCraft Ghost. No. So, news.
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 News?
Snooze to the news.
Oh, my... Oh.
Yeah, I ruined this podcast. Don't you dare press that button.
You son of a bitch.
That stays.
Now it's time for the news.
Oh, yeah. See, if you're allowed to do that, I'm allowed to do something else.
Yeah, okay. Put it away. Jesus.
I'm out there. I'm out there, Jerry, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, so big one this week in the Ass Hat of the Week Awards.
Right.
A bunch of developers who wouldn't give out their names because, well, for reasons that will become apparent momentarily, came out and basically claimed that the PlayStation 4...
The PlayStation 4 that releases this November?
This November, November 15th.
I can't remember.
We should know this.
I thought it was October.
No, it's November 15th.
I thought the X-Bone was in November.
November 22nd for the X-Bone. One week later.
Microsoft hates that name, hey, apparently.
X-Bone. Well, then maybe they should have thought more carefully.
They should have.
Yeah. But either way, anyway, developer Covert, you know, kind of came out and said PS4 is faster. A bunch of other developers agreed with them. Then another developer who, again, under the condition of
not being known.
Not yet. Basically claims that their work on the PlayStation 4 is being gimped because of Microsoft's policies on cross-platform software. And that basically they've had to make compromises in the PlayStation 4 version of their game in order for the software to be parity between the two systems. Because Microsoft basically went to them and said, if the game is not identical on both machines, we don't publish it on our console. Which is, like, that's Nintendo's early 90s levels of shenanigans. That's even worse, I think.
And this is why we can't have Minecraft on PlayStation.
Minecraft's going to be on PS4 at launch.
At launch?
Yeah. You didn't know this?
At launch?
Launch. Now Kevin needs to get a PS4 so he can have a... What is this, your fifth version of Minecraft?
One, two. No, I've only got two versions.
It'll be his third version of Minecraft.
You sicken me, sir. You sicken me.
Well, I want to get it, and then maybe some of you guys will get it, and we'll play together.
Yeah.
Maybe finally.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But it'll have to be parody, man, between it and the Xbox.
Yeah, it'll have to be exactly like the Xbox One version, or it's not going to happen.
Right.
Now, in defense of... rationale and common sense. I believe it was a guy from Ubisoft, one of the characters from Ubisoft, you know, one of the cats, basically came out and called the charges about software parody completely ludicrous.
Right.
Totally ludicrous. But, I don't know, man, if Microsoft are enforcing release dates, like, that's the whole reason Rayman Legends was delayed, was because they wouldn't allow it to exist on the Wii U ahead of the Xbox 360.
Right.
So, basically, they went to Ubisoft and said, nope, either it comes out on all of them at the same time, or you don't get it on our system. But now, yet, it's one of the guys from Ubisoft who claims that...
I got it right here on their system.
Yeah, but it was delayed on Wii U because of the other two, right?
Hmm.
They wouldn't let it be exclusive to Wii U for any amount of time.
Which kind of sad.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you're looking at a bunch of guys who've got... Well, let's just face it, their launch announcements, they got the piss kicked out of them.
Yeah.
And they can dictate terms to developers?
Mm.
Really? Like, really? I mean, I know they've been backpedaling since May, but... And what really kind of pissed me off even more about it, one particular news site who didn't break the story, but picked up the story and had it in one of their little video segments. You know, they focused on it for half a minute. Downplayed it considerably, even in the news story when they were talking about it, and then immediately after they were done breaching the subject, they went on for about 10 minutes gushing all over the Xbox. You know, oh, the Xbox is going on a tour across the United States, and you get to try out all these games, and it sounded more like a commercial than
right. A
genuine news story. I'm not going to mention the name. The name is up on our Facebook page, but it seems like this kind of shit's been going on with them since E3.
Right.
You know, a week after E3, when everybody was trashing it, and everybody was talking about how many pre-orders of the PS4 there were, this one particular news site was publishing stories like the 10 reasons to own an Xbox One, and the 5 reasons to get hyped for Xbox One, and... This was all in the face of Sony's blistering E3, you know, and there was nothing at all said about PS4 on this particular site, of which I'm talking about.
Why don't we just say it?
No, fuck it.
Why not?
Ding!
Why? Because...
Oh.
Because we don't need to. The evidence is out there. If people want to look for it, they'll find it.
If they want
to. Also, they want to know, they got to go to our Facebook page.
That's right.
And
that's
like right.
Yes. So check out our Facebook page if you want the inside scoop.
There's 10 reasons to like the Blast Processing Facebook page. in sort of Minecraft-related news.
Huh?
I'm surprised you didn't mention this earlier. It happened a little while ago, I guess, but not a really long time ago. It's since our last episode. That 0 × 10 °C or whatever freak game is
power 6 times whatever.
Yeah, is dead.
It's dead?
Is confirmed to be kaput.
Why?
Kaputsky. Notch pulled the plug.
Why?
He just didn't like the direction.
Did Mark DeBeer say something mean to him?
He might have. He could have.
He wasn't feeling it.
He wasn't feeling
it. You know what? I applaud him. Because if you're not feeling it, and you don't think this game is going to work, pull it instead of making something shitty.
And less than 24 hours after the game was cancelled, it was announced that some other group had picked it up and was going to finish it. And they're not using the name.
Right.
And they're not using any of the original software.
And they're going to make sure Bethesda can't sue them over the title.
Wow.
So it's kind of stupid.
It is really stupid. You know what? You know what I wonder? Will there ever be a Minecraft 2? Is that something that could happen?
Minecraft 2, now with motion captured real people and voice acting and...
I don't know.
Can you imagine Minecraft if it were done with, say, like, the production values of even, say, World of Warcraft?
It's definitely had the production values of World of Warcraft, man. That game is aged.
It still looks more cartoonish and such than Minecraft.
Well,
Minecraft
depending on the skin that you use.
It's blocks. Minecraft is blocks.
Yeah, but depending on the skin, they're photorealistic skins.
They're still really blocks.
Good. Yeah, everything's made of shapes, man. Everything in the world. Everything in the real world is made out of shapes.
Yeah, but they're all like 4x4 blocks.
Yeah, man, not everything's made out of 4x4 blocks.
Dude, when we played Quake multiplayer, you'd get the same thing by putting a Johnny Bravo skin on your Quake character. It would look exactly the same as what you got on Minecraft.
There we go.
Yeah. That's Quake. Yeah. Quake 1. Quake
1. What year was Quake 1? 98?
I don't even remember.
19-diggity-2.
Damn that Kaiser.
All right. But if you saw some of this photorealistic stuff, it was pretty cool. Especially when you add water effects anyway,
you know what Minecraft 2 is?
What?
EverQuest Next. That's what Minecraft 2 is. Have you seen the EverQuest Next videos?
No.
It's Minecraft 2.
Is it really? Do you get to build shit?
You do.
Yeah.
Players build cities in the next EverQuest.
Really?
Yeah, it's player built cities.
And do you get to mine?
Everything is procedural. I'm assuming you get to get the materials from somewhere.
Do you build tools?
I don't know.
Can you punch trees and get wood?
Well, probably.
And make sticks, and then...
I get wood when I punch trees.
I knew that was coming.
You are a sick, sick man. Does it depend on the species of the tree?
That doesn't have anything to do with Notch's beard makes me jealous.
Are there certain trees you won't punch?
There's no trees I won't
punch. You'll punch any tree and get wood.
When he punches his tree, he gets wood.
And apples.
Oh, God. They get crab apples.
Oh,
yeah, I went there.
Oh.
I am embarrassed.
What else we got?
Did we talk about Mighty No. 9 yet?
It's been a month, dude.
Yeah.
It's been more than a month, so no, probably not.
No, we haven't. It's only a minor story, but we got another
minor story.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it is awesome, but I just mean it's Kickstarter. You know, the whole, how many major developers have jumped onto Kickstarter, right? Or major, what do you call gaming celebrities,
everybody,
right?
Everybody.
Yeah. And I just thought it was kind of awesome to see Inafune announce something.
Yeah. Right? That isn't a Mega Man game.
That isn't a
Mega Man. Wait, it is a Mega Man game. Come on.
It is essentially a Mega Man game. But
don't let me have this, okay? Let me have it. Just let me have it. I fucking hate Mega Man, okay?
And I know it's kind of cool because he's assembled a team, you know, pretty talented little group.
Yep.
Bunch of basically a dream team of guys from Into Creates, people he worked with back in Capcom way back in the day, which was Wednesday. And he announced Mighty No. 9. At first I looked at it, and the goals on it seemed pretty lofty. You know, it needed $900,000 to be funded. Yep. And the kick, the, what do you call it, the...
stretch goals?
Stretch goals seemed really out there, man. You know, $2 million, $2.5 million. It was funded in less than 36 hours. So it's okay, Capcom, because obviously Western gamers... And that, and when you looked at it, 90% of the funding came from North America.
See?
So North, obviously North American gamers didn't want that new Mega Man, right?
Yeah. Not to take anything away from KG, but... this feeds into what Marcus was talking about. Marcus Beer, who's our, like, basically becoming the patron saint of blast processing, I think.
He's got a beard like all of us now.
He does. Pretty awesome. Yeah, he's got a pretty manly beard on the go.
Angry beard.
I think he's been listening.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing that he's been speaking about lately with the Kickstarter is, you know, you've got PR companies releasing press releases for games on Kickstarter. Doesn't that kind of fly in the face of...
Well, yeah, because look, he announced before the Kickstarter site launched, it was announced at PAX.
Yeah, and he had a countdown, and he had a website, and this is Keiji Inafune. This is the guy who created Mega Man.
Yeah.
I'm reasonably certain that he could have went to maybe two or three North American publishers and had his bank like that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure even now, if he doesn't hit the stretch goal for PS4 and Xbox One funding, he can walk into Sony's third-party group... He's got his PS4 release, just like that.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is kind of like, you know, I flip the table a bit. I look at, you know, Red Meat Games, our homeboy Christos Sassis, and, you know, they just successfully kickstarted their first game as a little 16-bit throwback RPG called Steel and Steam.
Looks pretty cool, actually.
It does look pretty cool, and kudos to them for it, because, you know what, this is Christo giving up his day job, giving up any income... to sit down and make a 16-bit RPG, an episodic 16-bit RPG.
To do what the guy has probably been dreaming of doing since he was a teenager.
Yeah. And I mean, like, irregardless of whether or not the talent is there or whatever, I mean, I think they're good guys. I tried the demo. I thought it was pretty cool, a bit rough around the edges, but of course, they haven't started work yet.
Yeah.
You know? And the whole thing there is... These are guys that Kickstarter that need Kickstarter.
Yeah.
You know, these are the guys who needed that push.
Yeah.
I really don't think Keiji Inafune needed to go on Kickstarter and, you know.
No, especially not with the state of... And let's just face it, guys. We are, despite what the Negatrons on the internet will have you believe, the fact that I can go on to Steam or PlayStation Network or Xbox Live Arcade or what's the Wii Store... Wii U Store.
The eShop,
Nintendo eShop, and download that fantastic new version of DuckTales, or that updated Castle of Illusion that just came out on Xbox Live Arcade, right?
I've been playing it on PS4, on PS3, actually.
No, it's on PS3 as well? Yeah. I haven't had my PS3 all summer. But, all the people who are into retro gaming and everything, we're living in a golden age, because you got developers who can get this stuff onto these...
Yep.
These downloadable software, right? You can't tell me Mighty No. 9 is going to be an expensive game.
No. No. God, no. It's going to be $14.99, and you're going to be able to get it on every download network known to man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's right? All there is to it. This sort of ties into it.
Kickstarter for me, you know, should have been for like, who was that one I was going to, I'm going to talk about briefly a little bit later. It might be a little bit earlier. We're doing this in chunks. I don't know. that one, Mercenary.
Earlier, later.
Right?
Mercenary Kings. Yeah,
yeah. This is the guys who broke away from Ubisoft, the ones who made Scott Pilgrim versus the World, put together a little development team, and that's what Kickstarter is for guys like that.
Yep.
Or Yacht Club Games, the guys who are doing Shovel Knight, or Red Meat Games doing Steel and Steam. Right?
Yeah. Upstarts, new companies.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's been so much, like Shadowrun Returns, you know, I mean, brilliant example of one of the first big AAA Kickstarter titles, you know, like one of those...
Jordan Wiseman is not KG Inafune.
No, exactly. But, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he had a team of, what, 11 people?
Yeah.
7 people, I think, and it went to 13 after the Kickstarter closed.
Yeah.
You know, but Shadowrun Returns is a polished, well-executed, beautifully done product. Amazingly well-executed game. Really, really goddamn good.
Yeah.
And he needed that Kickstarter. Without that Kickstarter, it wouldn't have happened.
No, it wouldn't.
This was a situation where he was desperate to try and get this game funded. He saw what Tim Schafer had done with the Double Fine Adventure. And there's another prime example. I mean, Schaefer is a guy who's on the fringe. You know, yeah. Schaefer, yeah, he's got his fans, he's got his fan base and stuff. But we're not talking about.
But no matter how much we tout him, no matter how much everybody says Schaefer's a genius, and I'm one of the people who do think the guy has, you know, flashes of genius, right?
Oh, definitely.
Right? And this is a guy who obviously loves gaming, you know? I know you're not a big Psychonauts fan, but I'm a huge Psychonauts fan.
I just started playing Psychonauts.
Yeah.
That's an example of something I was able to
Every time Schaefer makes the jump for that brass ring, you know, you got something like Brutal Legend, which just did not sell what it needed to sell.
You know, and it wasn't really well executed.
No, it wasn't.
I loved it.
But
the first half was amazing. Second half, not so much.
Okay, let's stop the rage train for a second. Pump your brakes, son. It's National Treasure. No, but Schaefer needed Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think it's sad.
Actually, you know what? In all honesty, it's not even that he needed Kickstarter. It's that he found a way to use Kickstarter.
Yeah.
That no one had thought of before him, you know? And I mean, yeah, maybe he did for that particular game. Maybe he did need Kickstarter.
But, you know, what he sold, though, on Kickstarter was not even an idea. It was the promise of an idea. He sold Double Fine's name.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They said, you know, guys, all these point-and-click adventures you loved back in the day, bitch, I made all of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He and who was the other one that just left Double Fine?
Gilbert.
Gilbert. Yeah. I mean, Gilbert made Maniac Mansion, right? So that's, you know, that's pedigree right there.
Yeah. Sorry about the cave. That was a bit of a disappointment.
Loom was okay, though.
Loom was awesome.
Yeah. Was that Gilbert and Schaefer?
Loom was old school. Yeah. Another sort of, again, you know, the wheel.
Yeah.
The wheel revolves. Sony, at PAX this year, announced a port of Borderlands 2 to PS Vita. And that, in and of itself, you know, okay, cool, the Vita's getting, like, a nice AAA title, and Borderlands 2 is a freaking fantastic game, so, you know, more power to Vita owners.
Come to shoot broadswords, baby.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think it's great that Vita owners are getting a little bit of support now, but the truth behind that announcement, like, what made it happen, I think is even more astounding, and it really is a shining example of how different those guys operate between Sony and Microsoft. Like, where one wavelength is versus the other. Sony started up a new division. The name of the guy who's heading it escapes me at the moment. I know he's originally from LucasArts. He comes from LucasArts. But what they are is basically a third-party fabrication group. They're essentially a publisher designed to interact with third parties and developers. And their whole premise is basically to go out to studios like Gearbox and Bethesda, and, like, all of these guys who are big studios but not necessarily big enough to make a game for 10 consoles at once, and give them the help they need.
Basically go to everybody who is an EA, Activision, and Ubi.
And Ubisoft, yeah. And give them the help they need to get their games on their consoles. Like, they went to Bethesda. One of the first meetings was Bethesda, and it's directly because of one of the guys at Sony, not Andrew House, the other guy, the other head of third-party relations. I can't remember his name now. He's a great guy. The guy who did the video with Yoshida about the game, like, lending games.
Oh, right.
He went to Bethesda, sat down and said, we want Elder Scrolls Online on PS4. How do we do it?
We need a team of 30 people.
30? You got it. You know, basically, it was a situation where, what will it take you to get this game on console? And Bethesda turned around and said, well, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to be on both consoles. And he said, that's fine. We got it on PS4, we're happy. Whatever you guys want to do with Microsoft, be my guest. So Sony basically put the technology and such in place to port this game to PS4 and Xbox One. And they didn't care about it. Like, you know, it was just, as long as we've got it, we don't care what else you do. It's still your game.
Nice.
And then the Borderlands thing was, you know, he had tweeted Randy Pitchford and said, you know, Borderlands 2 on PS Vita? And Pitchford's like, hey, we'd love to see it on Vita, but we just, you know, we're a fairly small studio. Gearbox doesn't have the manpower to do it. So Sony started this new division. They went to Randy Pitchford directly and said, well, what kind of manpower do you need? Oh, we need da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So Sony checked out another developer, found a studio that had just finished working on a game, and said, how would you guys like to port Borderlands 2 to PS Vita? And that's how it happened. So Sony is fabricating all this. Sony is going out and connecting all the dots, which I think is absolutely brilliant.
That's fabulous. Yeah, it's very smart on their part.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And I mean, it's a situation where it's kind of a selfless thing. It's kind of like, we just really want good games on our consoles. Yeah. We really want good AAA software on both PS4 and Vita. And I mean, hell, if it helps the Vita, more power to it, you know?
Yeah, it was honestly, that's a wonderful piece of hardware.
It's just not being used. And yeah. I mean, like, it's as much to blame as the whole mobile gaming craze is as much to blame as anything, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I still thought it was pretty awesome.
And hey, if you're a Vita owner and you haven't played Borderlands 2, that's the game's amazeballs.
It is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And also, if you're a Final Fantasy 14 player like myself, you'll be able to play it on your Vita when it launches for PS4.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. And if you're playing it on PS3 like myself, you'll get a free upgrade to the PS4 version when it launches. So that's pretty goddamn cool.
Mm-hmm. You just reminded me that...
That's almost Sub-Zero. That almost gets in the fridge.
Yeah.
You reminded me just then that Card Hunter is out of beta now.
Yeah?
It is.
What's Card Hunter?
Oh, it's that old school kind of miniature / card game. Looks like AD&D with minis. It's online. PC game. You will think it looks cool, but would not want to play it. You would laugh at the jokes, but still wouldn't want to play it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would I make the VA Baracus noise?
I think I showed you a video of it one time, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I dig it. But it was my very first time, actually. This is a bit of a segue. It was my first time ever being involved in a beta wipe. Because I'd gotten my characters up to certain levels.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And I wiped, yeah, right? Yeah. That had never happened to me before. So it was kind of sad.
It happened to me just this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 14.
Did you cry?
No.
That's good.
I did. Because the game is just too goddamn amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to start over. Woo! Oh, wow, I just peeked out the sound on that.
You totally did.
What else do we have news? Want to bring up 3D Realms? Gearbox?
Yeah, yeah. Be my guest.
Okay, well, 3D Realms apparently this summer, I didn't even realize they had a lawsuit against Gearbox Studios.
Oh, yeah, they had.
Over Duke Nukem Forever. And, no, they've called off the lawsuit. Come to an agreement with... basically took a look at it, figured, no, Gearbox don't owe us any money.
Wasn't it over, like, unpaid something or another based
parking
on...
parking tickets.
Yeah.
Videotapes.
Late fees.
Yeah, here we go.
But no,
not royalty, unpaid royalties or something like that, you know.
But they've called off the lawsuit, and the head of 3D Realms has issued a public apology to... Gearbox head honcho, Randy Pitchford, and has hoped that this hasn't done anything to sully the relationship between the two of them.
Good.
Right on.
And you know what? It's nice to see someone... I mean, I can't say anything about the lawsuit, because I don't work for 3D Realms. I don't work in the industry. I can't pass judgment or anything on it. But, no, it's nice to see, somebody saying, hey, we were wrong. Our bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's,
bury the hatchet.
Yeah, let's bury the hatchet. Maybe we can work together again.
We're sorry, Randy Pitchford. You're going to have enough to worry about when the whole Sega Aliens Colonial Marines fracas hits full tilt.
Yeah. Yeah, and I see Randy smiling at... what were you watching the last week? Was that at PAX?
Or? It was at PAX, yeah. The Gearbox panel at PAX.
The Gearbox panel. I see him smiling when, the weight of the world's got to be on the shoulders.
Yeah. Poor old Aliens Colonial Marines.
Game over, man. Game over.
Apparently Marcus Beer's least favorite game of 2013.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's just because he likes aliens.
Probably.
He doesn't
like aliens?
Yeah, no, he said, he invested so much of himself into it, and it just disappointed.
Sadness pie.
Profound sadness.
Anyway, news out of the way. Diablo 3 out of the way. Myself and John had the brilliant idea of, just talking about some of the stuff we've picked up and spent a few hours with over the summer. We could switch it off if you want to. Switch hit or whatever, I don't care.
No, okay.
I'll start.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
You sure?
Weren't we supposed to do this earlier, or perhaps later, depending on when this part is finished?
We were going to do it earlier or later, but later earlier, Kev decided to review Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's right. I also have a gadget thing to talk about, or gear-related thing.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Gearget.
Gearget?
Gearget. combination.
Sounds like a robot.
Sounds like a horrible robot.
That's a pretty fey robot.
Sounds like a PS3 game platformer. Gearjet and Gearjet 2. Gearjet Returns.
Oh, what was the crappy... It was on PS2 and Xbox. I don't know if it was crappy or not. It was actually... It could be awesome. It's a Ratchet and Clank ripoff where you played as a robot.
Metal Arms glitch in the system?
Metal Arms glitch in the system. There you go. I bet you Metal Arms' his name was Gearjet.
Yeah. Do you know what game that studio went on to develop?
What?
What, two games, I should say?
What?
They worked on this...
You're not going to tell me it's Rocksteady here.
No, they worked on this big AAA title that was in development for ages and never did see the light of day.
Yeah.
Called StarCraft Ghost.
Yeah.
And after that, they developed this really, really awesome, like, open world slash real time action RPG.
Yeah.
Called Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Really?
Yeah.
Kidding me?
No.
Well.
Then sadly, 38 Studios exploded, and they got picked up by.
What are they called? Big Huge or
Big Huge Games? Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll never see a sequel to Metal Arms. The system will
fuck
glitch.
Metal Arms.
The system glitching. Will glitch no more.
Four.
See, ideally we would do that in post, and we'd add a little ding sound every
post.
Time somebody dropped the F bomb. But
didn't we used to throw in the Roadrunner?
We used to actually bleep it out with Roadrunner, yeah.
Oh, really?
We used to actually bleep it out with meep meep.
And then Epic Mealtime came around and...
Oh, Epic Mealtime.
Stole our gimmick.
Totally stole our thunder.
Yeah. Oh, should
sue Harley.
You should.
He's worth mad cash now.
What we should do is put up a picture of what Harley looked like a couple years ago. Put up a picture of Mark Ackerman, because he's clearly devolving into Ackerman.
Devolving? Really?
That would mean he was past Ackerman.
Well, I mean, Wooly Watsit's not human, man.
Dude, okay, listen, all right, if they were both Pokemon,
yeah.
Harley Morenstein would be the free one they give you at the beginning of the game. Okay.
Mark Ackerman would be the legendary one. You got to get some fucking
Mark Ackerman would
team
be.
Five. That would be six. Mark Ackerman you get it.
Six.
Mark Ackerman would be the Pokemon you get at some Nintendo event at Blockbuster Video.
He would be the man who totally fucks Team Rocket up the ass. Seven. I can't believe we're having this goddamn conversation. Why did I ever have children?
I've had a good day. Okay, so what have you been playing?
Okay, I'll keep it brief. Dragon's Crown, disappointment.
Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me.
Yeah, it wasn't all that good, right? Mm-hmm.
It was okay. It wasn't bad.
I think I said my article in the paper, you know, escort missions in a beat-em-up. It's like, Japan, I could have been your greatest adventure.
And the boobs were too big.
The boobs were... You know what? For all the craziness going on about the art style and the sexist and all this kind of crap, you know what? The detractors were kind of right. It's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous to the point that, you know, it's kind of stupid-looking.
I liked everything else. I dug that kind of hand-painted kind of whatever style.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just didn't like the... Well, huge boobs.
No, I even liked, like, when you went into a store and everything, just take old bits. I like when you went into a store and you kind of, the way the character was drawn, everything kind of looked like one of the old, like, Eye of the Beholder or something, when you go in the store and it'd be, like, the great big character portrait. Right?
And that segment tells you everything you need to know about Kevin Woolery.
But, I just found it really, really boring.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, it was, especially like less than a month after playing Mystera Chronicles.
Yeah.
Chronicles and whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah, it's like Capcom did this better than you guys 15 years ago. 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess disappointment.
Okay.
Would be the word I would use.
All right, so what else?
We've got a Splinter Cell Blacklist.
That's
this one
cool.
Is a fan-freaking-tastic game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, I was cautiously optimistic. I wanted to stay optimistic because I like Splinter Cell. I like the Tom Clancy stuff.
Yeah.
Right, you know, I've been reading Tom Clancy books since I was a wee lad. And I was cautiously optimistic, and I really got to say, they knocked it out of the park.
They this one is like Splinter Cell Blacklist compared to the old Splinter Cell games, even Conviction, which wasn't.
And this was Raymond's new crew at Ubi Toronto, wasn't it?
This was Jade Raymond's group. Yeah. It doesn't really feel entirely Splinter Cell in the same way that the Tomb Raider reboot doesn't really feel Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's got a different vibe, but it's like a cross between classic Splinter Cell, Ghost Recon, and Mass Effect.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's got this great vibe going on, and, like...
You talk about, like, the... When you're on Sam's giant airship.
Yeah, when you're on the Paladin, which is the coolest freaking name ever for a mobile command center.
Yeah.
You know, like, just the feeling interacting with all the crew, the way the side missions and everything are integrated into the game.
Yep.
The fact that if any of my friends are online and actually playing through it, when I look at my tactical map on the plane, when I see my, like, big holographic heads-up Microsoft Surface-style table map, whatever location my friends happen to be playing in, their PSN names come up on the map with a little icon.
Like, Sam's got operatives in that.
Yeah, it's really freaking cool, man. It was so well integrated.
I love the storyline of it. I love the way they... it wasn't like... The game, it felt a little bit like a reboot.
Yeah.
But it...
It doesn't...
No,
disavow the rest of the series.
No, it completely encompasses the rest of the series, you know? Yeah. And I really like how they got out of... Because, I mean, they've been doing it since the end of Chaos Theory, you know? The whole corruption seeping into Third Echelon.
Yeah.
Double Agent was all about that. And it should have stopped with Double Agent. It should have ended there. But then Conviction was all about that. And
Conviction was just a non-stop revenge trip.
Yeah.
Conviction was just...
And, like, this is... And I love Conviction. Conviction was a good, really, really good game.
It was.
But, you know, it was Splinter Cell in the wake of Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
But the what I like about this is, okay, Sam's had his little hissy fit. Now, you know, world's not going to save itself. Time to go to business. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, like, a great playing game, and the mechanics, like I said, it feels more... The controls don't feel like classic Splinter Cell. It feels like a Ghost Recon game.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like Future Soldier, which was a phenomenal game in
itself. Best shooter of 2012.
Yeah.
So. It saddens me that the Clancy games aren't generating the hype they used to, because Future Soldier was amazing, Blacklist was amazing. You know, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have believed that... what was the new Rainbow Six supposed to be called? Patriots?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I mean, whatever happened to that?
It's... Kind of gone.
Yeah. Or like what you heard happening about Splinter Cell Conviction. I didn't think that would happen with the Tom Clancy series.
Yeah.
That was a major cash cow for Ubisoft.
I read a really interesting article, actually. It was a European site. It was, I believe, it might have even been Eurogamer.
Yeah.
Where they talked about, like, kind of the quote-unquote critical downfall of the Tom Clancy video game universe.
Yeah.
And how it's become just kind of a name that they stick on games. Like, The Division looks freaking phenomenal, but, you know, there's not really anything that jumps out and screams Tom Clancy.
No.
You know? But they were talking about... They actually linked it to, you know, when the Tom Clancy games were in their heyday. When you had Rainbow Six, you had the original Ghost Recon, and even Splinter Cell, you were at a time when the military, in particular the U.S. military, was riding high. Economic times were really high.
Yeah.
It was a situation where, you know, like... The military was glorified.
Yeah.
And then 2011 happened, and then Afghanistan and Iraq and all of this, and it's become kind of like another situation where, you know, it's not looked on in such a favorable light anymore.
Yeah.
And because of the constant bombardment from, like, Call of Duty and Battlefield.
Yeah.
And combine that with the social, you know, the kind of the social climate, it doesn't have that same, you know, it's not the same rah-rah, you know, we kick ass mentality that it used to be. And, I mean, coming from a European market, like, coming from a European article, it's kind of like, okay, you know, yeah, I could... It wasn't just some, you know, liberal yuppie sitting down writing an anti-US bash. It was more, this is why these games are not as popular as they used to be, because they don't appeal to the masses the same way they used to, you know?
Well, it's sad, because if you want to talk about gameplay and storyline-wise...
Fantastic.
Yeah, both Future Soldier and Blacklist are trumping anything that are coming out of both Activision and Electronic Arts.
I agree totally. I think they're both phenomenal games. And from a technical standpoint, they're great games. They're great looking.
Blacklist was gorgeous, played amazingly.
Yeah, and I love that they're not, you know, go to point A, wait for a room full of enemies to spawn, kill them. Move to point B, wait for a room full of enemies to spawn, kill them. Like, the games never fall into that trap. Future Soldier or Blacklist, everything is dynamic. Everything changes as you go through. Mission objectives change. The mission changes up, you know? Like, there's always this urgency.
The way you get through a mission changes depending on what gear you've loaded up with.
Yeah, yeah. And even then, like, your entire like the mission can change on the fly mid-mission from like a stealth mission to an all-out assault mission, and that's like it's really well put together.
Oh man, that part in Future Soldier when one of the guys called Werewolf first show up, and you're completely, you know, they bring down the network, whatever the guys are. Eyepiece is called
the crosscom.
They knock out the crosscom and everything. You're at a complete disadvantage.
Yeah,
but it's just like
you have no. It's
like Buddy said, you know, when they're going into it, we're going to show these guys ghosts are more than you know, we're more than toys and gear.
And the whole, like, you know, like one of the characters in the game says, you know, this augmented reality shit ain't all it cracked up to be.
Yeah,
you know, I thought that was really freaking cool because you're in the middle of the level and all of a sudden you got like 800 enemy icons come up on your screen, you know, and it's like and. Here it's someone hacking your system, you know? It's pretty cool. It's pretty neat.
I got a little one I played this summer. I mentioned this earlier in the news, was Mercenary Kings. I can't remember the name of the developer now. That's going to drive me nuts. But, no, I downloaded on Steam for, it was what they called a...
Early access.
The early access. You know,
I grabbed it too, and I checked out after 5 minutes because I couldn't get it set up properly with my controller.
Yeah,
it pissed me off to no end.
I got mine set up perfectly after a few minutes and some skullduggery.
Okay, so there was skullduggery.
There was skullduggery, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing.
Controller to play a game.
What you're gonna enjoy about this is that it's coming for PS4.
Good.
Yeah, and it's what I liked about it is imagine if. Borderlands had been made by Konami in 1988.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it's a great little game, you know, take on missions, kill guys, pick up pieces of scrap and everything, take it back to base, use it to build bigger, meaner guns. It's a lot of fun, and what's great about it is that the missions are set up so you can play for 5 minutes.
Which is cool.
Which is pretty awesome.
Tribute games.
Tribute games.
Tribute games. There we go.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank the internet.
I did fire up and play a fair chunk, actually, of a JRPG.
Yeah.
Gasp. Try not to think. Called Tales of Exilia, which is the latest in the Tales of series, which is up to, like, 347 games or something now.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I mean, it's a JRPG. Take that for what it's worth. It's a good one. It's not a terrible one.
Yeah.
But it is a JRPG. And all the good and bad connotations that come with that phrase.
Well, sometimes you want some strawberry pocky, man.
Sometimes you want to catboy your way through anime land.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, Final Fantasy XIV, huge thumbs up.
Looks great.
One of the most polished and well-presented MMOs I've ever played.
Love that, the HUD and everything, man. That's
really well put together.
Yeah.
Really well put together game. I did play a shit ton of that.
I think that's... and from what I'm seeing, of course, you get the usual Negatron stuff online. But I mean, you got to take that for what it's worth. You know, a lot of people I find are complaining. It's a very, very small, very loud minority. But from what I've ascertained from looking at, not really the reviews, but, you know, the, like, reports and everything with a lot of the major news sites you're doing, I think this is going to be a big smash for Square.
Yeah, well, I mean, they all love it.
Yeah.
Everybody loves it, which kind of blew me away, to be honest with you. I wasn't expecting it. Because I almost thought it was too much of a throwback for, the mainstream press.
Right.
But, geez, like, even guys like IGN love it to pieces.
I'd play it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And Garland's in it.
Garland's in it.
Garland. So, you know what? Fuck Seymour. Fuck hairdresser. Hairdressers and all these bad guys with their fashion model clothing and immaculate hair. Darth Armor is back.
Yeah. I'm cool with that. I'm really loving the hell out of Final Fantasy XIV.
Nice.
It's great that I got on a North American server, I restarted a character, and in one day made back the progress that I had made in a week before.
Cool.
It was kind of cool. But, currently level 18? 17 or 18? 18, I believe.
That's Gladiator, right?
Yeah, level 18 Gladiator, and I'm loving the hell out of it. It's awesome.
Kevin played the game earlier tonight.
He did?
Yeah. What'd you play, Kevin?
DuckTales.
Ooh. I'll win you.
Yeah, that's right. It was fun. I died. I lost.
You pansy, and like, you play this stuff.
I play those kind of games, and I'm usually awesome at them.
And DuckTales isn't a hard game.
And I don't play those kind of games usually, and my old school skills have long since left me, and I usually suck at them. And I sat down in one sitting and finished four levels.
I still play old games. I just bought an Atari. Come on, man. But I think the problem was, I'm not used to the controller.
Oh, yeah.
That thing is gigantic. I'm blaming the controller, man. Have you seen the size of that thing?
Yeah, it's the exact same size as the iPad you're holding right now.
Yeah, but I don't play platformers on my iPad.
I remember having... I purchased Mega Man 2 on the iOS store a while
ago. Was that when
ago.
You got the iPod Touch?
Yeah, it was on iPod, and it was unplayable.
Oh, yeah.
God, was it ever unplayable.
That's why I use my iCade for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. That's why I use my Ooyah.
Ooyah! That's why I played Mega Man 2 in 1988, and that's where it stays.
You win.
No, I really enjoyed DuckTales as well. It was good. Nicely put together little remake.
Best part, diving into the money pit.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I loved all the little stuff like that. I was really impressed that they got the voice cast from the original animated series. Doubly impressed when I found out that the guy who plays Uncle Scrooge is 90 years old. And
I think I still pull off the Uncle Scrooge voice.
And the woman that does magic of the woman who does magic of the spell is like 92 or 95, and she can still pull off the Natasha Bedinoff,
nice,
or Natasha Fatale, whatever her last name was, Russian accent.
She probably eventually became Bedinoff because I'm sure they got married at some point or another.
Probably did. Boris was a dick, though, man.
I guess that's it.
We got more.
Oh, hey, look at that
big one. This is the big one for me. My PS3 died this summer, and I've been forever getting it sent back in. And last week I broke, and I bought the first game for Xbox 360 that I've bought for a long time.
Did you ever buy The Witcher 2?
Yes, I have The Witcher 2.
Oh, okay, you should be playing through that shit.
You know, I gotta review this shit, man. I gotta play new games.
Review, whatever. Go online, read a few reviews. I gotta do every other week.
I gotta plagiarize Eurogamer for every week. Yeah. I don't plagiarize anyone. But picked up Rayman Legends, and holy shit, what a game.
Yeah, everybody says it's good.
Seriously, guys. No, I'm not even going to say it's good. I'm going to say that Michelle Ancel walked up to Nintendo, to Reggie, Miyamoto, or whoever. Who's the guy in charge of Nintendo now?
Who cares?
Basically, took off his, threw his scarf over his shoulder. He finished his espresso, threw his scarf over his shoulder, took off his very European glove, and slapped him right in the face. Mario just got challenged to a fucking duel.
I challenge you to a duel.
Because I always say in my reviews, it was the same with fighting games, and, you know, things were good in the absence of Street Fighter. And whenever I'm reviewing platformers, it's, you know, there's good and there's Mario. I mean, you played New Super Mario Brothers on the U. That's a good game. Great game.
It's a fantastic game.
Yeah, this is better.
Yeah?
I'm serious, guys. This is...
Those big words.
Yeah, no.
Does Rayman have a mustache?
Sorry?
Does Rayman have a mustache?
I'm pretty sure there's a skin for Rayman in there that has a mustache, yes.
Okay.
The one I'm playing as right now has a knight's helmet on and big armored gauntlets and everything. There's all sorts of characters. It's got most of Rayman Origins in there. The game is fucking gorgeous. What's that, 8, 9?
10.
10?
That's 10.
Yeah, it is absolutely, absolutely retina-scorching gorgeous. You could pause the game at any point, print off a screenshot, frame it, and stick it up in your house. That's how good looking it is.
Yeah, but people say you're really freaking weird for having these little acid trippy characters.
They'd probably call you a nerd.
What the heck is that? Why do you have all these weird little critters that look like amoebas stuck on your wall?
Because I'm a Frank Zappa fan.
Sit down and listen to Moonchild.
It's a gorgeous game. You know, the music levels are great. The boss fights are great. It's just... It's nice to see... Let's see Ancel back up on the horse.
I can't wait to see the other two games using the same engine, the two they got coming.
Yeah, what's it called? UbiArt?
UbiArtworks, something. Yeah, but either way.
UbiArt.
Yeah. Two other games announced last week. Child of Light, which is like an old-school homage to the 16-bit RPG, but it still has a different gameplay style to it. Looks stunning. Looks like, you know,
Looks like the screenshots are all taken out of an artist's portfolio.
Yeah, and their whole thing was they wanted to make a game that looked like Yoshitaka Amano's paintings in motion, and they've succeeded. Man, have they ever succeeded. The other is Valiant Hearts, which is a side-scrolling action-adventure game with like puzzle-solving elements. You play as five different characters in the trenches
of France during World War One, all linked by this little medic dog that's absolutely adorable. And the game looks and sounds absolutely phenomenal. Like, sounds really, really fantastic. I'm immensely looking forward to both of those.
Nice.
They're going to be downloads coming out in 2014, and PS3, PS4.
I got to say, guys, between that, like, all that good stuff, Watch Dogs and everything, if there's one major AAA studio that's got gamers firmly in mind,
It's Ubisoft. Like, the whole casual hell that they were stuck in three years ago, two years ago, whatever it was, has very clearly been put behind them. Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping there's a level coming up in here where Rayman actually curb stomps one of the rabbits.
Well, I mean, let them have their rabbits, let them have their Just Dance. I mean, you know, they got to have something, but I remember when, you know, Assassin's Creed was the exception to the rule at Ubisoft. You know, yeah. Assassin's Creed was the one gamer's game that they made every year kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that wasn't so long ago.
No.
But I love that they've kind of gone a complete 180 and now they are very, very firmly, you know, entrenched with the gamers in mind, right?
Is there a demo for Legends on the PlayStation Store?
There is.
I'm going to play it.
There's a demo. There's a free trial on Xbox. You can get free trial. No, Steam doesn't do free trials, do they?
I don't know what Steam does. I think they do demos, yeah.
I don't do no Xbox.
No, they do have free trials.
I don't Xbox.
No, that's what Gabe's...
Bro, do you even Xbox?
That's what Gabe's playing it on. Is,
on Steam.
Yeah, Steam, yeah. He saw my review and said, fuck the free trial, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. 11. Ding.
I'll try it out, definitely.
There we go.
I like platforms.
It's no kill. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Great.
On that note, gentlemen, let's go play some games.
Yeah. Let's play some games.